Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and all the wonderful ways of getting hold of us.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Yeah, that means a ton. Want to thank our executive producer, Mr. Dustin Rhodes.
I watched Lou Dobbs last night.
Okay, and of course, Kevin Zipak. Bless you, kind sir.
Sean Hannity last night. Tucker last night, Laura.
What a way to spend your evening. And God bless you, Ray. Thanks for everything, Ray. It means everything to us.
I watched Fox and Friends in the morning. You watch these shows.
Kind of seems like a lot of TV. Shouldn't you be busy?
It's executive time. Back off.
Ah.
David, we should let everyone know that before every Bears game, tune into the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And this Sunday, the pregame show starts at 9 a.m. And, you know, we haven't mentioned it yet, but it is 9/11, and it's certainly a big day in the history of our country. And while we're delighted to welcome in Dan Bernstein, we also want to send out our love and deepest respect to all the first responders in this country for everything that they did then and everything that they're doing now. So
absolutely.
Let's bring Dan into the conversation.
Never Morning, forget. Dan. Morning, Dan. Never.
Yeah, I think it's important to say what they are doing now, that for something that costs that many lives, what's happening right now on these multiple fronts, so many people are working so selflessly for something that's already killed approximately 60 times more people and almost as many in that day by the day. So it's obviously, it's not obvious, but it should be said that there are people working tirelessly and selflessly in the face of ongoing death and destruction in this country.
Yeah, I agree.
Fighting
with that
wildfires thing. Too, that are consuming acres of property as we speak.
Where were you? Do you
I was on
remember 9/11?
Yeah,
I was on the air too. Not here in Chicago. Well, I was in Northbrook. I was on Sporting News Radio. But tell us your memories of 9/11.
Well, my memory was the show just started. It was when we were 8 to noon, and it was shortly thereafter that we saw that the televisions all started going to special reports. That was the first report of the first plane into the first tower, and then we saw the second one happen, and I was trying my best to describe what I was seeing via CBS reports, and then Drew Hayes came in, and Rod Zimmerman came in, and we talked about how we were going to handle it for the remainder of the show, and I spent the time trying to quarterback our coverage using WINS in New York, using WBBM here in Chicago. Then I immediately got on the phone and called my wife, who at the time was working in the Aon building, and essentially said, get out of there right now, my pregnant wife. And
right.
Molly, you were in the same situation.
Yep.
And I said, you guys said, get out of that building and get home. And just tried to do my job. And I tried to make sure that I wasn't panicked as I'm on the air talking to the Score listener, getting ready to talk about the Bears. And It was supposed to be a post Bears show, I believe, and it ended up being something very, very different from that. Terry was so overwhelmed that he walked out of the studio and didn't come back in that day. And it was the aftermath that I remember more than anything else, because that day was just sort of doing the job of describing what was going on and keeping people informed and trying to quarterback coverage as we moved from outlet to outlet and just tried to get the news out there. It was the aftermath that I remember.
It was the shock, I think, right? People were in a state of shock. I was living in South Bend, and my son was a year old, and we were watching, my wife and I, and we're watching the Today Show when everything happened, and it was just seemed like a normal day till then the world stopped. You know, it was like, wow. And you didn't, there was so much we didn't know that we know now. And as you kind of remember, all I sort of recall is just that feeling of the uncertainty that you didn't really know how that felt until that moment. And so you're just watching there and you're waiting for answers that aren't coming, and you're just horrified by what you're watching, and you're looking at your young son and you're like, what kind of world is he going to grow up in?
We literally had that conversation. She's pregnant. I said, what are we bringing a kid into?
Right.
You know, what are we? And now I ask that every day, even though that kid is 18, I'm still thinking, what the hell did we do? More so every day. But when I say the aftermath, I mean the days that followed. And the rumination on how our conversations and our attitudes, and is irony dead? Is comedy dead? Will we ever laugh again? Will we be able to do this? And a lot of the guidance that I know that I took was how David Letterman handled everything, and what a consistent and kind conscience he was. And that, you know, back when I watched those shows that I don't really watch anymore, and to have that national presence, be smart and compassionate and aware, and taking a cue of when it was okay, how it was okay to laugh, and when it was okay to laugh, and when we could get back to sort of our sensibility and snark and all that, and sort of it was weird for our show. Like, are we ever going to be able to do the Boers and Bernstein show again? I remember thinking, like, what can we do? Because, you know, we're the, you know, confrontational jerks and making fun of everybody. And when is that going to be okay again? And it was one guy who called in and felt compelled to sing "You're a Grand Old Flag," and he said, May I just use these airwaves to sing? And we said, yes, of course. And it was at that moment that the show came back.
I remember, so I was on Sporting News Radio in Northbrook, and I was doing a show, and we had different guests come on. We had, I believe the White Sox were in New York at that point, and we had a Sox player on, and we had Bobby Valentine came on. He lost his agent. He was in one of the buildings, I believe the first building, and talked to him. He was just in this state of shock. And we had Larry King came on. And so we're talking to Larry King at one point, and he said, the only thing that I can think of is Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's very good. And he like yelled like to his wife, he was like, they like the Pearl Harbor. it was just this surreal moment. Like, what? You know, he was like really pleased that we had responded positively to Pearl. Oh my God.
And I've never heard that before.
And it was this horrible thing and everything, but it's the sort of thing that like you're driving home and you're just chuckling, thinking of Larry King, you know, Chicago, hello. And he's pleased that the Pearl Harbor metaphor worked.
Oh God. Oh boy.
Chalk one up for me. They liked it. Have I told you about Welch's grape juice and garlic?
Right.
So Dan, did you watch a football game last night?
I did. It was football, right? Every time there was something that reminded you that it's weird and that things aren't quite right. But that was the Chiefs offense with a new little toy who is going to be a handful. And I give football people credit, because this isn't some surprise. The moment they selected Edwards-Helaire when they did, everyone's like, yeah, uh-oh. for them to get him and for this offense, for everything going on and what he can do, there was really never a doubt that he was going to be this. And if you started looking at fantasy drafts, already a fantasy darling before even taking a snap, and everybody had that right. Because there he was, and very elusive, and after contact, still running through people. So that was he's a problem.
I just was overwhelmed by the fact there was a crowd. I was trying to remember the last time I've seen a crowd at a sporting event, and it's been a while. And it was just like to see even the sprinkling of fans in the upper deck and everything. It was just so wild. Just kind of like, yeah.
Yes, and
there's
doing
one.
Unity.
Yeah, that was weird.
Down
that was
with
weird.
Unity.
That was weird.
Yeah, was it?
At first, I thought they were booing the fact that it seemed very disorganized and it was delayed and it was kind of weird. But then I realized, they're booing unity.
Yes, they're literally booing. No, man, we don't like unity.
Unlock your arms.
Disruption. Don't stand together. I literally said, what are they booing? Because it's, and like J.J. Watt said, it wasn't a protest. There wasn't a flag. I mean, there wasn't any place to go out of your way to purposely misplace or disguise your true feelings. That was just an open rejection of unity. And, right? And we've come this far. And I'm thinking also, like, if you're in that building, we were talking about this in the pre-show meeting. It's not a neutral sampling of fans, right? Because if you have to be in the middle of a viral pandemic, if you're like, I need my football, someone's like, we're going no matter what, and we're going to be in the stands, and we're going to take in our, we're going to do our tomahawk chop, and we're going to do this. So I don't think it's necessarily a neutral sampling of evidence there about the people who had to be at that game for their Chiefs. But still, it was really, it was a bit surprising.
You're saying that anybody that goes to a football game now is irrational.
They've calculated their risk a little bit differently, right? I won't go to my parents' house for a holiday dinner.
Right. Well,
but that's for
that
their
is
protection.
True.
Right?
In large part, it is.
Yeah.
But,
I get it.
It's
not a statement on your mother's cooking. I just want to clarify that.
Oh, yeah, no, right. Absolutely not. But they're, they said, look, let's come over, just the three of you. Let's come over. And I said, I said, unless we can do it outside, I don't think it's proper, it's safe, and because it would put them in danger.
Along those lines, Dan, we had a question on the pick six about George McCaskey talking about the fact that 97-year-old Virginia will go to Detroit and be at Ford Field for the Bears opener on Sunday, which I thought struck both of us a bit surprising.
I know, and the fact that she's riding a Harley, that's what really shocked me, that she's going the whole way on her own Harley. And I thought, okay, it's probably safer than flying, but maybe there might be a little bit of extra risk in there.
And now people are confused. What have you today,
and like the big one with like the saddlebags and the big fork, like a total lowrider, the feet out wide, like the heels on the shifter kind of thing.
Was she Sturgis too?
Yes. Yeah, you're confusing different things. Yeah. That's not happening.
We are unveiling our Football Fridays that we're going to be doing here. We've got a whole cast of characters here. Mondays and Fridays on this show are going to be football intensive, even as, of course, we will be paying close attention to the playoff-bound baseball teams. Patrick Manley is going to join us at 9:40. Anthony Herron will be in for the entire 10 o'clock hour. Then it's Steve Stone making his appearance at 11. Matt Miller makes his first appearance to talk both NFL and the start of college football. Gonna have to kind of ask him, like, hey, how's college football? How's it going? Because it's in this era of not knowing who's playing when and whom and how, he's gonna give us a full reset on the teams and players to watch, as well as NFL prospects we may be seeing. So very, very football-y today.
Have a good
show. Alrighty, Dan. Have a great
Guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.